All right, take your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Not too far from us is the highest point in Wisconsin. Now, if that counts or not, for the whole state, about 10, 15 miles, you can go there and say, I'm at the highest point. That's pretty impressive. But there isn't really a lot of, compared to here and compared to city, there's not a lot of, per se, people. But everybody's important to God. And you just, when God says to go, then you just go. And wherever that may be. And I trust that in your college time and in high school, and that God will be working on your heart, and he'll have a place for you. Maybe it'll be here still, but maybe it'll be somewhere else. But wherever it is, you just go. And the Lord will bless and use you there. 2 Timothy and chapter 4, and let's read. I want to read it beginning in verse 1, and I want to read down through verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for, Lord, the blessing to have another day to be alive and to serve you. And Father, I thank you for saving my soul as a young boy. And Father, thank you for guiding and directing my life. And Lord, allowing me the privilege of serving you. And Lord, I know that's the case for many that are here, for the young people in high school yet, and then also those in college. Lord, it's by the grace of God that we've been saved. We've been set on a course and a path. And dear God, I pray that we might be faithful to that path. I pray that you bless the message. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit's special power this morning to preach, that what I might say would be from you and that might challenge our hearts and stir our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to verse 7. We read these first 13 verses, but again, verse 7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul said, I have finished my course. This morning, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled something that you've probably heard many times before, and it's called A Winner Never Quits and A Quitter Never Wins. How many have heard that before? A winner never quits and a quitter never wins. And I want to remind you of that this morning. In the verses that we just read, we find a winner and we find a quitter. I want to contrast Paul and Demas this morning in this message to try to encourage you to be a winner who never quits. Life can be hard at times. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning because you have to, but your heart's not in it. And you're about to quit. Life can be hard. We can have good days and bad days. Job 5:7 says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just as sure as you sit around a bonfire and you watch those sparks, they always go up because of the heat. Just as sure as that is, the Bible says we're going to have trouble in this life. Just as sure as we're sitting here, we'll face problems. Job 14:1 said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. The Christian life is no exception to trouble. The difference between a lost man and a saved man when it comes to trouble is that we have God to help us through. We're not alone. And so trouble comes, and Satan roars like a roaring lion, and many quit. You know, it's happened before that some college students have come to chapel or come to school, come to chapel, and you've been going out through the year, and you, maybe not this group, but other groups in the past, that they get a phone call, and someone's died. A mom or dad, a grandparent. And that's a troubling time. It's a hurting time. But trouble comes, and Satan does that. He roars, and he wants to do all he can to get you to quit. And so he causes all kinds of problems, and many people throw in the towel. Many, many people quit. Missionaries quit. Preachers quit. Deacons quit. Sunday school teachers quit. Moms quit. Dads quit. Grandmas and grandpas quit. Teenagers quit. And college students quit. But winners are winners because they never quit. And quitters never win. With God's help, we don't have to quit when trouble comes. And I wanted to say to you, and I hope that you could either write this down or remember this in your life, that it's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon. As we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, I want you to see, first of all, a winner who never quit. Again, verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." If anybody ever had reason to quit, it was the great Apostle Paul. Take your Bible and let's look at his life just a little bit. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 3, and we'll read down through verse 10. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us." You just put yourself and listen to what Paul's saying about himself and the things that he's going through. He says the sufferings of Christ are abounding in him, in them. "And so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." To get to the point that you don't even want to live anymore. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver." You see that in verse 10? Paul's looking back on his life, and he says, you know, in the past, I've had a lot of troubles, and God's delivered me. And he's saying also, he says, "In even now, in the present time, God is delivering me." And then he goes on in the future, "And I know by the past and the present," he says, "yet I know in the future that God is going to deliver me." Take your Bible also to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as we're looking at things that Paul went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is what for a moment, which worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And then one more passage in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. We're looking at the things that Paul went through and never quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look with me in verse 22. 2 Corinthians 11, 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. Look at this. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Do you see all the things that Paul went through? And he never quit. He never quit. Notice in verse 24, he says, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. 5 times. It's my understanding they'd take your hands and tie you up to a pole and your hands in front of you and they'd strip off your shirt and they'd whip you. 39 times, 39 stripes, 5 times he went through that. 39 lashes across your bare back. In verse 25, 3 times Paul was beaten with rods. Think about that. He was stoned. The Bible says that he spent a day and the night in the deep. I'm not sure all that means, but he also says he was 3 times he was shipwrecked. I think it's different than that. Cast aside, bobbing up in the down in the water, maybe by himself, just struggling for life for a whole day and a night before he was rescued. It says he was robbed. He hungered at times. He hungered. He thirsted. He was cold. If anybody had a reason to quit, it was Paul. And we're ready to quit when our car breaks down. Or you get a cold, or somebody picks on you or makes fun of you. Ah, that's it. I just can't handle this anymore. Now, I'm not trying to make light of your trouble, and certainly not of my trouble. We all go through trouble, and it is hard. It's real. Our problems are real to us, and God does care about our problems. But we're reading about someone who faced far greater trouble than us, and he never quit. Now notice verse 23, it says that in prisons, more oft frequent, or in prisons more frequent. Paul wrote 4 of his epistles from prison, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were all written while Paul was in prison. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16, if you would. Acts chapter 16. And you know the story, but let's just read it about it again, just a couple verses, starting in verse 19. And when her masters saw that hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You notice that Paul was in prison, and in verse 25, we see that even there, even in that dungeon, even that lowness, and your feet and hands in the stocks, and even in a terrible place called a prison, he didn't quit. He said, hey, Silas, let's sing. Let's sing. Notice it says that last part of the verse 25, what's it say? And the prisoners heard them. Hey, Silas, hey, we still got a testimony for the Lord. Let's sing. And they sang, and of course you know the miracle that happened, and God delivered them. Go to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 12, down through verse 14, Philippians 1:12 says, but I would, you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto a furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I have read that during Paul's imprisonment here, he was chained to a Roman soldier for just 24 hours all the way around the clock. And if that be true, and if what I understand about reading about that is they had shifts. The soldiers would take six-hour shifts with the Apostle Paul being chained to him, and then they'd shift out and switch out, and another one would come in. And instead of Paul being angry that he was in prison once again, he said, I want you to understand in verse 12, he says, what's happened to me has fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. He said, I've got a captive audience. This guy's chained to me for 6 hours. And he can only put one finger in his ear because the other one's on my arm. And so for 6 hours, he'd witness to that one. And then he'd change shifts and he'd just talk to them all. Can you imagine those soldiers going home to their families that night? How was your day at work? Oh, man. But he took something that we would look at and say, well, that's just awful. And Paul turned around and said, hey, there's a plan for this. And he never quit. Sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel and quitting. It was Paul who said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, he said, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to the purpose. How do you look at things, and how do I look at things when problems happen to us? What do we look at? A lot of times we grumble, we complain, we say, oh, poor me. Paul said it all works together for good. And Paul just didn't write those words, he lived those words. He said the things that happened to me were part of God's plan. And Paul was a winner who never, never quit. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy, again in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's read also this charge to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's read beginning in verse 1 down through verse 7. He said, Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Notice if you look back to verse 3, what did Paul say in verse 3? He said to Timothy, he said, thou therefore endure hardness. Sometimes in life you just have to endure for a while. Timothy, make sure when the hard times come, you just endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What is he saying to him? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give over. Endure the hard things. You're here training for the ministry, and the ministry is many wonderful things, but it's not a bed of roses. And really, the real hard part starts when you get out. And you're out there by yourself. And you're out there serving God. There's heartache and sorrow. People that you love and lead to the Lord and try to teach them and they grow. And some will leave you. Some will stab you, and some will say mean things about you. And Paul said, Timothy, that's going to happen, but you just endure hardness. Don't give up. There's setbacks, there's disappointments. So Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look over in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4. He said in verse 5, he said, but watch thou in all things, then what he say? Endure afflictions. Endure it. What does it mean to endure? Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to last, to continue in the same state without perishing. To remain, to abide. Endure means to bear, to suffer without resistance or without yielding. Endure means to sustain, to support without breaking or yielding to force or pressure. Endure means to bear with patience, to bear without opposition or sinking under pressure. Paul said to Timothy, endure the hard things, don't quit. Now notice in verses 9 and 10, 2 Timothy 2, back there in verses 9 and 10, he said, "When I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." What does he say in verse 10? He said, therefore, I endure all things. I endure all things. Paul was never satisfied with his life. He always desired to do more, to accomplish more. Because Paul never quit, we have several books of the Bible. Because Paul was never satisfied with his life, he pressed on. He put his past behind him and strove for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God. Paul was dedicated to God. He was totally sold out for God. And we see him now in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We see him now coming to the end of his life in verses 6 through 8. He said at the end, I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. He said, I've kept the faith. He said, I'm now ready to meet the Lord. I endured hardness, and I did not quit. And he said, there's a reward waiting for me. Crown of righteousness, and that crown is not just for Paul. It's for all those who love his appearing and don't quit. So we see this morning very clearly, we see Paul, a winner who never quit, even though he had every excuse to. The second point that I want to give you, and that's to talk about Demas. And I want you to look in verses 9 through 13 of our text there in 2 Timothy 4. In Demas, we see a quitter who did not win. We see a quitter who did not win. Paul lists several men here. Demas, Crescens, Titus, Luke, Mark, Tychicus, Carpus. If you look at these verses, you see what happened to these men. Crescens was sent by Paul to Galatia. Titus, one of Paul's preacher boys, went to Dalmatia to help the church there. Luke was with Paul as a physician who traveled with him. He wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Mark, says, was a profitable to Paul after he got his life straightened out. He wrote the book of Mark. Tychicus, a faithful servant who helped relieve God's servants, was sent to Ephesus. Carpus gave Paul hospitality when Paul was at Troas. He was faithful and a trusted brother. All these men that he names here, all of them were a blessing to Paul. But Demas said, look what it says in verse 10. Paul said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas said, I quit. Demas said, I'm going home. Now, Demas, as far as I understand, is mentioned three times in the Bible, and I want you to go to look at those places with me. Go to Philemon, right before the book of Hebrews, just one chapter, Philemon, and verse 24. Philemon, in verse 24, says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. Four names, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. Paul calls them my fellow laborers. My fellow laborers. Here, we see Demas as a Christian. It appears that he's determined, he's a dedicated child of God, he's laboring for God, devoted to the cause of Christ, and this passage speaks highly of him. It says he's a fellow laborer. Take your Bible also and go to Colossians in chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. He's mentioned here another time, Colossians 4, we'll read down through verse 14, or 7, verse 7 through 14. Colossians 4, 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is my beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful, he says he's faithful, a beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all the things that are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son, to Barnabas, touching whom you have received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently in for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and then we have Demas, and Demas greet you. As I read through that list, I notice there's praise. There's something given about all those men, a fellow laborer, a helpful friend, whatever it was. But you come down, you just read, and Demas. Nothing good is said about him. It seems that he's just there, that he's cooled off and he's lost his fervor and zeal for the Lord. And Demas is now not the Christian that he once was. Back in our text then, 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the third reference to Demas. Again, we see it in verse 10. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. Now, why? Why did he quit? Why did he forsake Paul? Why? Well, the scripture doesn't leave us to wonder, does it? It goes on to say, having what? Loved this present world. Having loved this present, he got caught up with the world. He got his eyes off of Christ, and what did he do? He quit. Demas was a quitter who did not win because he fell in love with the world. Now, I'm not saying that he wasn't saved. I believe that he was. He didn't lose his salvation, but he did lose his reward. He never lost Christ, but he lost his crown. And there's no crown for quitters. It appears that Demas lacked character. It seems that he lacked the conviction to do right no matter what. He did not have the courage to say no to the lures of the world. Paul had character. Paul had conviction. Paul had courage. We looked at his life. All those things were there. But Paul was a winner who did not quit, and Demas was a quitter who did not win. Now, I say all that, and I build all that message up to get to this point. I want you to listen, please. Which will you be? Which will you be? Look around you. I want you to look around. You have friends here. You know each other. It's not that many people. I think you know most of the names. If not, introduce yourself. Should get to know people. But look around. Listen, some of you, even with the message being preached, some of you will end up like Demas. Some of you will. And some of you, praise God, will end up like Paul. Which do you want to be? I was in college like you guys. At the time, I think there was at least over 200 students back when I was in school. And I'm not judging any of them. There's many of them that are striving for the Lord, like Paul. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of them who've quit. Having loved this present world. You know, it's easy to do right when you're made to. You've got to come to chapel or you're going to get demerits. You've got to get out of bed in the morning or you're going to get demerits. You got to clean your room or you're going to get demerits. And all those things, when you leave, when you're done with this training, this is good for you. When you're done with it, nobody's going to be looking over your shoulder. Nobody's going to be saying, hey, do this. Hopefully the idea is that while you're here, that character will get in you. But you'll have to decide, and the lures of the world will be there. And the devil will say, come try this. And you know, you've been doing that all your life. Why don't you have some fun for a while? And you'll have to decide, what am I going to do? Will I be like Paul, who endures the hardness, even if you're the only one? Or will we be like Demas, having loved the present world? Will you sail or make shipwreck of your life? Hardness will come in the ministry. We're to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, sometimes, as I said before in life, you just have to endure for a while. It'll get better. Just, you bear up under that pressure. You bear up under the hard things. You just put another foot in front of the other and say, I'm just going to keep serving God. You may struggle with a test or some other relationship and you're having a hard time. Just keep going. Just keep going. It'll get better. God will help you. One last verse I want to close with, if you would take and look to Hebrews in verse 11, chapter 11. A lot of good men are in this chapter. I want to just point out one of them. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read verse 21. The Bible says, by faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. You know what that means? It means that Jacob's now old and feeble. He's got to have a staff to help him to get around. But he takes that staff, and as an old man, what's he still doing? Worshiping. Worshiping. That's where I want to be. I want to take these young years and youthful life that God's blessed us with and serve God with all our heart. And when the old days come and you can hardly get around anymore, I want to find my staff. And I want to still worship God. My great-grandfather was a Baptist preacher. He grew up in Detroit. And he was working in a tire factory. And God was dealing with him he's called to preach as an older man and middle life, and God was dealing with him, and he was running from God. One day he got a call from his foreman and said, Civil, come here. He said, you need to go home, your house is on fire. And he knew that God was getting hold of his hand. He surrendered his life, lost the home, but he surrendered his life. Planted many churches in Michigan, served God. And I can remember, my grandfather died in his 80s when I was just a young lad, but I can remember him coming and preaching at our church, and he'd come up to the pulpit and they had to have a little light so he could see. You know how your eyes sometimes get bad and they wax dim. And he'd kind of lean on the pulpit like this, and he'd read, and his voice would quiver. But he was reading and he was preaching. You know what he was doing? He was worshiping God, leaning on his staff. Paul came to the end of his life and he said, I've finished my course. Is that what you want? Do you want to be like Jacob? Do you want to be like Paul? I trust that you do. Remember, it's always too soon to quit. Now, I want to ask you to do something this morning. Now, when I was in college, I don't remember the pastor. I don't remember the message even. Something along the way in the message spoke to my heart. And I don't even know if it was on this subject. But I remember God talking right here. Has God ever talked to you right here? Right here? I hope he does. And I remember writing it down, and I made a promise, a vow to God. And I wrote it down. I said, God, no matter what happens in life or what I have to do, I will not quit. We don't need any more quitters. We don't need any more shipwrecks. And we don't need any more Demases chucking it all to go after the world. If God is talking to you right here this morning, right here, I want you to make a decision. I want you to write it down. We're going to have, I'm assuming you have an invitation. If God has spoken to you, if God's saying it right here, it's a vow. Don't take it lightly. But you make a vow to God and say, God, I want to be like Paul. I want to be a winner who doesn't quit.